Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Great to be at the Tea Party convention. I guess down here, that's some southern sweet tea. And you know, up in Alaska, we have a smaller version of Tea Party up there, and we call it iced tea. And I am a big supporter of this movement. I believe in this movement, just knowing that this is the movement, and America is ready for another revolution, and you are a part of this.
So what to make of the Tea Party convention in Nashville over the weekend? Sarah Palin's Saturday night keynote certainly got lots of attention, but the event that was intended to take the young movement to its next level of political maturity also divided it. About 600 people attended, paying $500 a ticket. Others boycotted because it was so expensive and organized as a for-profit event. But some, like blogger Glenn Reynolds, are heralding this as, well, here's one of his latest posts. Nashville shows Tea Party as America's third great awakening. So let's welcome Glenn Reynolds, University of Tennessee law professor and author of the blog Instapundit. He also writes for the Examiner, where he wrote that article that I just quoted from. He's a libertarian and a Tea Party supporter. Also with us, Lorraine Scanny, co-organizer of Staten Island's Tea Party movement. The Staten Island group decided not to attend. Welcome back, Glenn. Lorraine, welcome to WNYC.
Hello.
Hi, it's great to be here.
And Glenn Reynolds, let's start with your piece in The Examiner. You call this movement America's Third Great Awakening. So what's your headline coming out of the convention?
Well, actually, I called the Tea Party a symptom of America's Third Great Awakening because I think the Tea Party movement is part of it, but there's much more than just the Tea Party movement going on. It actually goes back, I would say, as far as the Howard Dean movement and some of the excitement in Barack Obama's campaign, the sense that a lot of Americans want to take politics back from our rather dysfunctional political class. And I think you've seen that actually as both a left and right phenomenon. I think the Tea Party is the latest manifestation of that. But I do think that it's a deeper and broader phenomenon than just the Tea Party movement.
And you were at the convention. Did they refine positions or take a next step toward more power? Or what was actually important in Nashville this weekend?
Well, the interesting thing about this, you know, I think, and you know, I was actually there covering it for PJTV.com, so mm-hmm. I suppose I take some of the blame for making a big deal about it. But the truth is, I think it's been overblown in a way, in that the Tea Party movement is huge, and calling it a convention, I think, made people think of it as something like a constitutional convention, when what was really going on was more like the usual sort of activist training, how to organize a rally, how to support a candidate, how to do this sort of thing. And so I think that, you know, I don't think it made a lot of pretense toward speaking for the Tea Party movement as a whole at all.
Lorraine Scanny, tell us about the Staten Island branch of the movement. What are your core values or policy positions, and why did you not attend the convention?
Core values are just basically, we do agree with the Tea Party patriots, fiscal responsibility, constitutional and limited government. The reason we did not attend was for that very reason, that we felt it was a for-profit entity, and there are thousands and thousands of Tea Party groups all over the country that, A, may not have the means to go, and, B, we compare it. I know the New York City Tea Party organizer, Callan Guida, compared it to the Starfish and the Spider, where there's just thousands of us around where we didn't need to go to that one convention to know what we had to do.
And I don't want to make this all kind of a convention pro or con, good or bad, for profiteering or not discussion. We'll do a little of that. But I really want to keep this primarily on core values of the Tea Party movement and what you both think it represents. And listeners, if anybody happens to be listening who was at the Tea Party convention this weekend, we want your calls, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And if anybody else listening has a question for our two guests, both excited about the Tea Party movement, call in with your question. If you're one of those, and there are a lot of people like that in this area, certainly, looking skeptically at this movement and saying they're against everything that's progressive and right, let's not just throw brickbats. Let's call up and ask these listeners, these guests, I should say, what they're all about. We do dialogue, not diatribe here. Let's do it. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. 9692, Tea Party Conventioneers, or anyone with a question for our Tea Party guests. Let me stay in Staten Island for a minute. Lorraine, how yes. much was it the health care bill, which is when it really started to get a lot of press that there was a Tea Party movement, or the bank bailouts or stimulus bill that really launched this movement locally? Any of those things that really caused the major spark?
For Staten Island, that was after the Rick Santelli rant. I think with the mortgage crisis that was looming, that's what motivated us.
Now, that's so interesting, because the Rick Santelli rant on CNBC, if I remember correctly, was aimed at homeowners who were looking for mortgage relief from the government. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that makes grassroots people on Staten Island, most of whom are homeowners, angry?
Well, as I was saying, I was going to get to the healthcare debate did drive us here on Staten Island.
Uh-huh.
We have a Democratic congressman that we wanted him to vote against the health care.
And with the Rick Santelli rant, which again was about
right.
mortgage, you put it in your own words, what was it about that was inspiring?
I know it inspired me just to personal fiscal responsibility. That was something that I think motivated people on Staten Island to join our group.
For people who don't know, and since you brought it up, here is a little bit of that original Rick Santelli rant, which many people do say was the spark that ignited the Tea Party movement.
This is America. How many of you people want to pay for your neighbor's mortgage that has an extra bathroom and can't pay their bills? Raise their hand.
How about we all?
President Obama, are you listening?
So, Lorraine, do you have neighbors who are at risk of foreclosure now?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay. Glenn Reynolds, getting back to the convention in Nashville, was this actually a for-profit political convention?
As I understand it, and I went to the press conference where they talked about this, as I understand it, the money made in this is supposed to actually be turned over to a political action committee that is going to support Tea Party candidates. So I don't know that any money is going in people's pockets, but I'm not really in a position to be too detailed about that because I don't speak for the organizers.
As a reporter.
Yeah, well, that's what they said at the press conference. That's certainly what I understood. And, you know, I haven't audited their books, but that's certainly the way I got it.
And what was the thing about Sarah Palin getting $100,000 for her speech?
That number has never been verified, but she said during the Q&A after her speech that she was donating her speaking fee, though she didn't give a number, back to that PAC as well.
She did verify that number on Fox News Sunday yesterday and said again that she's giving the money back to the movement, though she wouldn't say what that meant. Is it clear to you what that means to be giving the money back to the movement?
What I took that to mean that she was donating it to the PAC, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, and she said not necessarily the PAC.
Oh, okay. I didn't see the Fox interview. I was traveling.
Lorraine Scanny, I don't know if this is something that you're concerned with or not, how much Sarah Palin got paid or what she's going to do with the money. Is that of interest to you at all?
If she said that she was donating it back to the movement, then that is fine. I do not have a problem with that. We did have a problem. Like he said, it was a for-profit entity. It was very vague. We were never told what exactly, where the money was going. Was it going back into the movement or not? I just feel if the money was going back into the movement, then it would not be such a bad thing.
Glenn, how would you say the Tea Party movement differs from any of the other conservative grassroots, the pre-existing Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh listeners or the grassroots religious right or however you want to describe other grassroots in America?
Well, the interesting thing about it, and this was actually something, you know, as I interviewed people, I really tried to focus on, because I have to say, to me, that the interesting thing at these kind of events is not the people who organize them, it's the people who attend them. And what I got from people over and over again was this sense that fiscal conservatism is the big tent. And every single person I talked to said that they thought fiscal conservatism was the key issue, cutting back on spending, shrinking the size of the federal government was the key, and that they just didn't care about the social issues, that the abortion, school prayer, all those sort of 70s and 80s hot-button issues were just not a priority at all.
And in fact, NPR and Fox political analyst Mara Liasson said the Tea Party movement can grow as long as it stays away from social issues and from immigration. Does that sound right to you?
I think that's probably right, yeah. I mean, I think that, it's important to focus like a laser beam, to coin a phrase, on that issue, because that's what's got people upset. And I should note that actually had a lot of the Republican base upset under Bush as well. One of the interesting little interchanges I saw in the comments to one of my columns over at the Washington Examiner was somebody came on and said, well, if Republicans are so upset, why weren't they protesting under Bush? And the response somebody posted was, we did protest under Bush by staying home in 2006 and 2008, which is why the Democrats won.
And Lorraine Scanney, as a co-organizer of the Tea Party movement on Staten Island, how much do you think that description pertains to what your group is about? Kind of staying away from social issues like abortion and gay rights and even immigration, and being much more concerned with the fiscal issues?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's take a phone call. Tom in Seabright. You're on WNYC with Glenn Reynolds and Lorraine Scanney. Hi, Tom.
Hi, good morning. I'd just like to ask your speakers what role do they view national government as having? Is it just national defense and then have essentially a social Darwinist the society where people do whatever they want? Is there any regulations, or should they guarantee clean air, clean water, safe toys for your kids, education? Is there any role for government?
Lorraine Scanney, you want to take that on?
I would argue I'm a firm believer in the Tenth Amendment and states' rights. I do believe the federal government has to stick to the core values that were enumerated in the Constitution. National defense, yes, definitely being one of them.
So that's it.
Well, Tom, thank you for your call. Let me follow up this way. Let me ask about the Obama administration's current fight against the banks as an example of how far the government should get involved in the private sector. For regulatory reform to break up the too-big-to-fail banks so they can't ask for more taxpayer bailouts, and to establish a consumer credit protection agency. Glenn Reynolds, did this come up in Nashville? Is the Tea Party either for or against that set of things?
I think the position of most people I heard talk about this at the Tea Party convention was that the Obama administration's attacks on the banks are basically a sham, that if you look at where the money goes, the Obama administration and the banks are in bed with each other. Lots of money is going from the government to the banks, and lots of donations are flowing from the bankers to the Obama campaign and the Democrats. And, most people see the attacks on the bank as just a smokescreen for what's really more a form of crony capitalism.
Do you see it that way, Lorraine? Do you have a position on new regulations to prevent the kind of too-big-to-fail bailouts that we just went through?
No, I think Glenn about COVID.
And I can say I'm a big believer that too-big-to-fail is also too-big-to-exist, and
yes.
I would be happy to see antitrust laws used to break up banks that are so big that their failure represents a risk to the society. But on the other hand, I just think that all the attacks on them are and I want to put this very plainly, lies. I think that it's political maneuvering and, follow the money.
The attacks on the banks are lies?
Yes. I think that, in fact, if you look at where Obama got his money, who the bankers donated money to, they donated very heavily to Obama. I think Obama came in, and while he's constantly been attacking the banks, and this set some the teeth of some people on the right on edge, if you actually look at what's happening, enormous amounts of money have flown to the bank, and these people are doing quite well. And this is also a common complaint I should note on the left, and I think that there's potentially a lot of overlap between a lot of the Tea Party movement's complaints about what's going on with the federal government and complaints that you hear from a lot of people on the left.
Because in this case, Lorraine, it sounds like, is angry at the banks and wants them not to be too big to fail. But the Republican Party in the Senate is defending the banks from this kind of regulation.
Well, I don't think you're going to find a lot of support for the Republican Party in the Senate among the Tea Party movement. I don't know, Lorraine, is that what you think?
Yes, absolutely.
In fact, Lorraine, I've read that though the Tea Party movement is enthusiastic about Sarah Palin, they despise John McCain. Do you despise John McCain?
No, I don't despise John McCain, absolutely not.
Does he stand for some wrong things, in your opinion?
I think that there comes a time when, yes, you do want to reach across the aisle and you do want to be able to work with the other side, but if the other side is not willing to sit down with you to work with you, there comes a time where it just doesn't work out like that. And I, unfortunately, I think John McCain, I think he was just more than too willing to reach out to them at this point.
My guest on WNYC, Lorraine Scanny, co-organizer of the Tea Party Movement Staten Island Branch, Glenn Reynolds, University of Tennessee law professor, a libertarian blogger at Instapundit, maybe you know Instapundit. He was covering the Tea Party Convention for PJTV this weekend. And Bob in Rego Park, you're on WNYC. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, how you doing, Guy? You continue to do a great job. I just wanted to say, you know, the Tea Party movement, it seems to be people who have health insurance, who have financial security, and basically I believe that the philosophy is that they really don't want to help other people in society who have less than them, and they're really just protecting their own assets. They weren't around when $1,300,000,000,000 was given to the richest people in the world, and those are the people who really love the Tea Party.
Bob, thank you. Well, Lorraine, what do you say to Bob in Rego Park?
I would like to know what he means that $1,300,000,000,000 were given to wealthy people. What exactly is he referring to?
United States, and there was no Tea Party, there was no nothing, and those people are the Tea Party, the richest people in the United States.
Right, but when exactly was $1,300,000,000,000?
Are you talking about the Bush tax cuts?
Right, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Where were the Tea Parties? Where was the screaming at that time?
Right.
Because the reality is the Tea Party are the people. The richest people in the world love the Tea Party people.
Right. So so there will be a debate in Congress this year about President Obama's proposal to roll back the Bush tax cuts for the top few percent earners
right.
and to keep them for everybody else.
Well,
how would the Staten
Bush
Island Party feel about that?
Well, the Bush tax cuts were always portrayed as benefiting the rich, and now it's kind of funny that they want to extend those tax cuts for middle class, whereas roll them back for the rich. I mean, they did benefit the middle class also.
And so if they're retained for the middle class but eliminated for the top 1% or 5% of earners in America, do you think that would be a big issue for the Tea Party?
No, what I'm simply pointing out is that it was a misconception that the Bush tax cuts were only beneficial to the wealthy. They did benefit the middle class.
And what about health care reform? Bob was saying, well, this is a movement of people who have jobs who don't want to help anybody else. What does the Tea Party want to happen with our health care system?
This tort reform, this trade... buying insurance across state lines, and I think that perception that gentleman has that the Tea Party movement does not care for people or doesn't want to help people is very, very misleading and very unfortunately that he bought into the media perception of the Tea Party movement, because that's not what the Tea Party movement's about. I think people should really know what they're talking about before they accuse people of things like that. You don't know everybody's individual situation that is involved in the Tea Party.
The media were interesting for me to watch this weekend. I don't know if you were following all the papers, Lorraine, in New York to see how they were covering it, but, the New York Times seemed to have these detailed reports from the convention and talking about how it's democracy at work and all this stuff. And the New York Post and the Daily News, they just had these tiny little blurbs about Sarah Palin's speech.
Right.
So, I don't know, maybe that's surprising role reversal. But, Glenn, what about health care reform? I mean, how did that come up this weekend except in the, other than in the guise of opposing what President Obama called for? Because Lorraine just mentioned the two most common Republican talking points, if you'll excuse that phrase, and Sarah Palin mentioned them in her convention speech, allowing interstate competition for insurance companies and tort reform. If we stipulate that those are both good things, how far is that going to go to really change anything with who gets covered and what anything costs, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that, you know, the big mistake made in U.S. healthcare policy was allowing employer deductibility of health insurance back as a way around price controls back during World War II. And that actually, you know, was a government action that had the unintended consequence of saddling us with a situation in which the consumers of healthcare have no control over or even usually any idea over what it actually costs. And that, of course, promotes inefficiency. And that's something I would certainly revisit. If I were appointed healthcare czar, actually it's somebody I went to college with who's healthcare czar now, but if I were appointed healthcare czar, that's something I would look into. And I would try to actually make healthcare look more like a market. I will note in response to your caller's comment, there's been sort of a split on the attacks on the Tea Party, because on the one hand, it's a bunch of poor, uneducated rednecks clinging bitterly to their guns and religion. And on the other hand, it's a bunch of fat cat billionaires. I'd sort of like to know which it is out there marching around.
Well, the Democrats would say that's the Republican coalition in a nutshell.
Well, I'm sure that's what they'd say. But I have to say, you know, that's not really what I've seen in it. And what I've seen actually is a lot of people who are self-employed who are feeling the push of the pinch of this sort of thing the most.
I also read that the convention goers were almost entirely white and older. So this was not the kind of the young Obama net roots.
Well, that's
actually
funny you say that, because if you look at who attends, for example, the yearly COAST conference, it tends to be upper-middle-class people in their 40s and 50s, and the reason is, and they're almost all white, that's who has money to go to these things.
Yeah. Claude in Nassau, you're on WNYC. Former Tea Party member, Claude?
Yes, Brian. You know, the whole point is that it's a proof positive that they're corporatists, because if you look at who their grand dame is, Miss Quitter Palin, she charged $100,000 when she's going to give it back. What did charging $100,000 do? It raised the cost of everybody going to the convention to put it out of reach for all the people who wanted to go to the convention. So why, if she was going to give back the money, why didn't she just not take it? She has no interest in this movement. This movement is defunct. It has no value. It is nothing. I've been there. I've read it. I've researched it. I would believe in it. The point is that they're nothing but a face.
But you believe you believe mostly in what they stand for otherwise, or you're not really a former Tea Party member?
I believe in trying to control the rise of federal government. But when you have globalist multinational corporations looking to undermine any control and regulation whatsoever, you need large governments to control them.
Claude, I'm going to leave it there because I know Glenn has to leave in a minute. Lorraine, very, very briefly to Claude, do you think that the Tea Party movement is going to kind of split in two now over the controversies around this conference?
No, absolutely not. Like I said, another Tea Party leader that I know used that comparison, the starfish and the spider. There's thousands of Tea Parties throughout the country, and they're only getting bigger. The numbers are only swelling.
And the Sarah Palin money thing, taking $100,000, he says if she's going to give it back to the movement, supposedly, why did she take it anyway?
I think she gave it back once there was a controversy surrounding it. She signed on to the Tea Party convention, obviously, to charge them and to make money for it. That's just my opinion.
And Glenn,
then
I know
she kind of took the heat, she gave it back.
Glenn, you got to go in a half minute, I know, but give me one other thing. Since you follow politics in Tennessee, tell New Yorkers your basic impression of Harold Ford. What should we know about him now that he might run for Senate here?
Well, I've met Harold Ford. I've actually interviewed him for a podcast I used to do. He's a very impressive, very smart guy. You know, he's been living in New York for several years now, and I haven't really kept close track with what he's been doing since he went up there, but I think you'd be a fool to write him out. He nearly won in Tennessee.
As a Tennessee politician, what made him – what did he stand for?
He stood for – I mean, he really was very much sort of like Barack Obama. He stood for a sort of enlightened progressivism, I guess you'd say, and a willingness to – deal with people, you know, across the center of the aisle. And I think that's probably still his position now.
Glenn, I know you got to go. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Glenn Reynolds, University of Tennessee law professor, author of the blog Instapundit, libertarian, and covered the Tea Party convention this weekend for PJTV. And Lorraine Scanny, before you go, as co-organizer of the Tea Party movement in Staten Island, what are you going to do next?
Right now, we have some Republican candidates running in a primary for the congressional seat here that's held by Democratic Congressman Michael McMahon, and we're going to be vetting the candidates and giving them an opportunity to reach out to the public and hold a forum and let people know how they feel about their, about the issues.
So what's your number one litmus test issue to discern a Tea Party Republican from some other kind of Republican in the primary?
Litmus test, I don't think there is a litmus test. I think there's so many issues out there that I cannot really pinpoint one issue at the moment. There is the fiscal responsibility. There is the, shifting the government back to the Constitution and limited government.
Lorraine Scanning is co-organizer of Staten Island's Tea Party Movement. We really appreciate you spending the time with us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in just a minute. Back to the banks, how they're lobbying to avoid new risk rules and why they might win. It looks like we have the Tea Party right and the Howard Dean left united on this one, but not the Senate. Stay with us.